Well, our subject is obvious from the video this morning, and it's always a great time of the year to start thinking about what you did last year. How many of you were here last year when I gave a message about Bible reading? Okay, many of you. So today is accountability. Everybody that's read your Bible every day for the year, please stand. No, I'm just kidding you. But if we did that, everybody should stand, right? Why shouldn't we read the Bible every day in a year? That'll be my challenge once again for you this year, 2018. Can we spend time in God's Word each and every day? Last year, Barna Research started the year with this survey study. It said about New Year's resolutions in January 2017, most Americans are not satisfied with the current level of Scripture reading. Anybody can relate to that? You're not satisfied with your current level of Scripture reading. A majority express a desire to read the Bible more than they currently do. Born again and practicing Christians are the most likely to desire more Bible reading in their day-to-day lives. Now, that part is weird to me. Who else would be reading the Bible every day? I mean, I can't believe the non-believers would be desiring. So what about us, though? We shouldn't be desiring that either, should we? It says that the born again and practicing Christians are the most likely to desire more Bible reading. We should be doing that, shouldn't we? The study goes on to say it should not come as a surprise that the majority of Americans wish they read Scripture more than they do. After all, two-thirds of Americans agree that the Bible contains everything you need to know to live a meaningful life. You agree with that? The Bible contains everything we need to know to live a meaningful life. Why wouldn't you want to read such a book more often? Study says, it goes on, however, like other New Year's resolutions, such as exercising more and eating healthier, how'd you do on those this year? Scripture reading is often an aspirational goal. It's a goal that for most people probably doesn't feel necessary to survival and so can easily get swamped by the day-to-day demands of a busy life. Anybody can relate. Scripture reading takes time and focus, two things that feel like scarcities in today's fast-paced and on-demand culture. Like exercise, like dieting, regular Bible reading does not offer instant payoff. It's a discipline whose rewards are reaped over the long haul. Concluding with the study, when people go from feeling they should read the Bible more to needing to read the Bible more, they find the time. How'd you feel about your Bible reading in 2017? Was it a should or was it a need to? Access to the Bible in the United States is not the issue, is it? Now, I'm part of the Gideon's International, and I do travel around the world and make sure that those who do not have a copy of Scripture get one. But that's not the issue here. Studies tell us 88% of Americans own a Bible. How many of you own a Bible? We have 3.5 Bibles in every home. You got the 3.5? Somebody show me your 0.5 Bible this morning. So access is not the issue. 59% of people who have no faith or are atheists even have a Bible. Just in case, right? So if you have a smartphone, you have the Bible. How many have the Bible app on your phone? Yeah, so I got a Gideon Bible app. It has 1,200 translations in it. I'm carrying it around. So access to the Bible is not the issue. The issue is changing our beliefs about the Bible into behavior in the Bible. So my message this morning is the Bible, worth your time. And I got 5 points. That's why I'm not a pastor. Pastors can do it in 3. Christians in the Bible, why read the Bible, how to read the Bible, and 3 easy action steps to hear from God every day of your life. So here we go. First point, where are Christians with the Bible? We are well-intentioned. I think if I said to you, how many of you believe that this is the Word of God? You'd raise your hand, you'd probably shout, you'd go, amen, hallelujah, brother. Yeah, I believe this is the Word of God. Okay? But then, what's our habit with the Word of God? Are our beliefs and our behaviors consistent? The middle ground related to the Bible seems to be disappearing, Barna says. that Barna researched, the decrease of Bible neutral and Bible friendly people and the increase of Bible antagonists suggests that more people are picking a side. Which side are you on this morning? Are you a Bible antagonist questioning the Bible? Or are you Bible neutral saying, I just don't know? Or are you Bible friendly? I love the Word of God. Pick a side this morning. Decide where you're at with this book. Because of our neglect, because of our non-interest in the Bible, because of our deference to the Scriptures, we're becoming biblically illiterate. I'm going to give you an example. A survey done in a private elementary school of some young students, and they were responding to what they know in the Bible. Let's see how you do. Ready? The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat that apple. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but a ball of fire by night. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Ruthless. They're getting better, aren't they? The epistles were the wives of the apostles. And Christians are only supposed to have one spouse, and that's called monotony. Maybe we are because you laughed at all the right lines, though, so I think you're a very biblically literate crowd. So this is not the first time in history that people have neglected the Word of God, had set the Word of God aside. So we're going to go to a passage of Scripture, Nehemiah chapter 8. So find your Bible, and that's why you were given a Bible this morning. Get the Bible out and find Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, and I'm going to ask you to stand as you get that place in your Bible. And that's the same kind of time frame that we were in. At that time, those people had been without the Word of God. They had set aside the Scriptures, and they were judged by God for doing so, as we will be. So the nation was destroyed, and God's people were carted off into captivity in Babylon. God is ready to step in now and restore the people. He calls Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and he calls Ezra to rebuild the spiritual foundation of his people. So let's stand and read Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Nehemiah 8, 1. And after all the people gathered as one man, into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood lots of his friends. And we go to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood, thus were standing. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And his friends helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the meaning so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Please be seated. Thank you. When Ezra headed to Jerusalem, He took a copy from Babylon. He took a copy of the Torah or the Word of God with him. These people had been without the Word. They maybe have never heard the Word. They'd been without the Word of the Lord for 135 years. So in Ezra 7:15, it says, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord, practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." I believe that's what God needs from us today. He needs 21st century Ezras. People, all of us, we can all commit to do the same three things that Ezra committed to. We can commit to read the word, we can commit to do it or practice it, and we can commit to share it or teach it with someone else. Doesn't mean you got to be a Bible teacher. It just means you need to have the word in your heart well enough that you can share it with somebody. Maybe like Pastor Dave is going to do right now with people that are in crisis, in need. Are you prepared when people need help to be able to share God's word? So that's what the Ezra Project is about, creating Ezras, 21st century Ezras, people who will read the word, practice it, and share it with someone else. The next point, the Bible. What is the Bible? What does the Bible say? Well, here's an acronym for you. B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Basic Instructions Before Life Every Day. That's a good reason to read the Bible, isn't it? Basic Instructions Before Life Every Day. And you know, you think about it this way. If God decided to condescend, to come down from heaven and become a human author, do you think if he did that, that he would have the number one bestseller? Does he? Yeah, all research shows that this is the number one best-selling book of all time. 2.5 to 5 billion copies sold, the bestseller of all time. It's also the most read book in history. So that alone says that the Word of God is separate from all other books, and that's worth reading. It's the bestseller of all time. According to World Weekly News, here's a few Bible facts for you this morning. About 50 Bibles are sold every minute. Just think of the time that we're going to be in church this morning, how many Bibles people are going to buy around the world. 50 Bibles every minute. And the Bible is the world's best-selling book. It's also the world's most shoplifted book. What? Can you believe that? If you can't afford it, you just go steal one. And you have a guy that was the vice president of Promise Keepers, and he said at the Promise Keepers table, Bibles went off like crazy. Shoplifted, people took Bibles. How about the Bibles we put in the hotels as Gideons? People steal those all the time. So amazing. Most shoplifted book. Last statistic. Though it can be read at the speed I'm speaking, in a mere 78 hours, surveys say we don't read it. You could read the Bible in 78 hours, the whole Bible. So how'd you do this year? Did you commit last year to read the Bible, and how did you do? Well, last night I saw a lot of heads going to go like this. So I'm not going to ask, but I sometimes like to do a survey of that and say, did you read the scriptures every day of the year? And if not, why not? And the reason is probably busyness, right? I got too busy to read the word. How many of you have ever read the Bible cover to cover? Read the whole thing in your life sometime. You are a Bible reading and Bible believing church. That's why you attend here. I'm sure of that. So what does the Bible say about itself? Why should we begin convinced to read the scriptures? Well, I call this the triple I doctrine. Football today, right? Football tomorrow. So triple I, the triple I formation. This is the triple I doctrine of the Bible. The Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Before we go some people say, well, who wrote the Bible? You know, you get that kind of question from time to time, right? Well, who wrote the Bible? The Word of God tells us who wrote the Bible. 2 Peter 1:21 says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When you read the scriptures, what does it say? It says, thus saith the Lord, right? They didn't make this stuff up. They were guided by the Holy Spirit as to what they put down. So, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to the triple I. The first one is inspired. God breathed. That's what it means. Inspired means God breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means this is God's breath. This is his word. We often want to hear from the Lord. This is where you hear from the Lord. This is his word. It's his very breath. How about the next one? Infallible. What does the word infallible mean? It means no potential or ability to err. The Bible is totally reliable. It cannot contradict itself. You hear people say there's contradictions in the Bible. There can't be, because Hebrews 6:18 says it is impossible for God to lie. So the Bible can be trusted. Let's go to inerrant. Inerrant means the Bible is technically correct, free from falsehood and deceit, wholly true. Now, this part kind of amazes me, because I've read the other books. I've read the Quran. I've read the teachings of Buddha. The Bible is somewhat unique. It has not only doctrine or philosophy, but it has history, science, geography. All those things have to be true. And so when you name a place, did the place really exist? The name of a person. And so the Word of God tells us in Matthew 5:18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until it is fulfilled." It's perfect. There's no errors. To the jot and the tittle, we can trust the word of God. Revelation 22:18-19 say, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So there's no need. There's no other books needed. This is complete. Isn't it amazing that it's only this big? That this is what God has to say to mankind, all in one volume. And we know there's excavations going on across Israel and different places. Not one excavation has ever controverted a biblical passage. Now, certainly not everything is proven yet, but many times as they excavate, they find those questionable things in the scriptures, and it verifies the dirt. The excavations verify God's word, as if we need that to know that this is true. So we can trust the Bible. So the next point is, why read the Bible? Why should we be reading the Bible? And I want to give you three thoughts and then three scriptural reasons this morning. The first thought is to improve your spiritual maturity. I bet if I asked you how many of you want to grow in 2018, every one of you would say, yes, I want to grow spiritually in 2018. This is a study that says of the seven dimensions in which Americans were asked to rate their faith maturity, Bible knowledge ranks dead last. Remember that, biblical illiteracy, because we're not spending enough time in God's word. We can change that as Christians. We can change that Bible knowledge ranking dead last in our lives by spending time in God's word, and we do that by coming here. I come to this church probably the same reason you do, because to me it's the best Bible teaching church that I've ever been able to attend. And so we come here because we want to be taught the word. But do we want to be taught the word only, or do we want to also be in the word personally? The second thought is to develop a dynamic relationship with God. Dr. Woodrow Kroll, how many remember him? President of Back to the Bible, used to be on the radio. He wrote a book called Taking Back the Good Book. And he said this, "When people tire of reading the Bible, it's because they read it for the wrong reasons or the wrong way. They read their Bible to gain knowledge, store facts, or pick up a few principles to live by. When you see the Bible as a means to a dynamic relationship with God, you can't get enough of it because you can't get enough of Him." It's what we want. It's what we see in the Word of God. And so I hope you see it in 2018 as a way to have a dynamic, which means living, relationship with God Almighty. And then the last thought is to be transformed by the Word of God. We don't read the Bible to be informed. We read the Bible to be transformed. And I found a little story I think you're going to like. The story is told of an old man who lived on a farm in the mountains of Kentucky with his young grandson. And each morning, Grandpa was up early sitting at the kitchen table reading from his old, worn-out Bible. His grandson, who wanted to be just like him, tried to imitate him in any way he could. One day, the grandson said, "Papa, I try to read the Bible just like you, but I don't understand it. And I don't. What I do understand, I forget as soon as I close the book. What good does reading the Bible do?" The grandfather quietly turned from putting coal in the stove and said, "Take this coal basket down to the river and bring back a basket of water." The boy did as he was told. Even though all the water leaked out before he could get back to the house, the grandfather laughed and said, "You will have to move a little faster next time," and sent him back to the river with the basket once again. This time the boy ran faster, but again the basket was empty before he returned home. Out of breath, he told his grandfather, "It's impossible to carry water in a basket," and he went to get a bucket instead. The old man said, "I don't want a bucket of water. I want a basket of water. You can do this. You're just not trying hard enough." And he went out the door to watch the boy try again. At this point, the boy knew it was impossible, but he wanted to show his grandfather that even if he ran as fast as he could, the water would leak out before he got back. The boy scooped up the water and he ran hard, and when he reached his grandfather, the basket was again empty. Out of breath, he said, "See, Papa, it's useless." "So you think it's useless," the old man said. "Look at the basket." The boy looked at the basket, and for the first time he realized that the basket looked different. Instead of a dirty old coal basket, it was clean. Son, that's what happens when you read the Bible. You might not understand or remember everything, but when you read it, it will change you from the inside out. We read the Bible not to be informed, but to be transformed. Now, three scriptural reasons. Why does the Bible tell us to spend time in the Word? First scriptural reason is the Bible is guaranteed. I don't know what kind of guarantees you have in your life. I don't have very many. Is your marriage guaranteed? Is your job guaranteed? Is your family guaranteed? Is your finances guaranteed? None of it is. But the Word of God is guaranteed. That's worth spending time in it. Look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Powerful that the word of God is guaranteed. Like snow and rain produces fruit on the earth, scripture will produce the spiritual fruit in our hearts and our souls. Guaranteed. I want to do that every day. I want that guarantee that it will help me grow spiritually. It will accomplish what he purposes and succeed in the things whereto he sends it. The second scriptural reason to read the scriptures is that the Bible tells us to. Does the Bible really tell us to read the scriptures daily? Look at Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11 says, "Now these Jews," and he's talking about the Bereans, "now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." They examine the scriptures daily. That's what we want to do. We want to examine the scriptures daily to see what things are so, to see the things that the pastors are teaching, to see what things are out there around us. Are they so? According to what? According to the word of God. That's our measurement. That's our barometer. So yes, receiving the word with eagerness daily. Is that how we feel about the Bible? And then the last scriptural reason is you still can. Now that may be a strange one to us, but let's look at Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 12. Amos 8, 11, 12. Say this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. That's not our day. I mean, we just said we all have access to the scriptures. But that day will come. That's prophetic. That's Amos. He's a prophet. Someday, you will look for this, and you may not be able to find it anymore. Now, I don't take this for granted, and maybe you do, but don't take it for granted, because I don't know whether that's going to happen in 2018 or 500 years from now. But that prophecy will come true, that there will be a famine on the land that the Lord will bring. So let's not take advantage of this. Let's not take it for granted. God gives us his word, and we can spend time in it each and every day. So I hope you're being convinced that in 2018, you can do this. You can read the Bible every day of the year. So how? You say, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. How? How many of you have ever committed to read the whole Bible in a year? How many of you failed? Yeah, it's hard. Reading the whole Bible in a year is not the only Bible reading plan. So let me give you a couple of different ones. The first thing we have to do is the idea of time. Because busyness is the biggest reason Christians don't read their Bible. I'm too busy. Now, I don't want to say that when I get to heaven, when I get to the pearly gates, and the Lord says, how'd you like my book? And you go, you had a book? I was just so busy with this life you gave me that I didn't ever really spend much time in it. I don't want to say that. I don't think you want to say that. So first of all, we have to make time, the Bible, worth your time. We have to make time for Bible reading in 2018. So Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. So how many of you are morning people? How many of you are night owls? How many of you are neither? You have to decide, right, today. You got to decide when you're going to read the Bible. When I started, and I started at 15 years old, when I started at 15, I read the Bible the last thing I did at night. And I did that through my high school years, and I couldn't control the last thing in my day. I didn't know when I was going to come in. I didn't know what condition I was going to be in and how tired I was going to be. So, you know, it worked, but I got to college, got in a Bible study, and these guys challenged me to do it differently. They said, how about first fruits? What about doing it in the morning? And I thought, you know, that might work better for me. So I started reading the Bible in the morning in my college years because I can control my mornings. I can always control my mornings. I can always control when I get up. Doesn't matter whether I got to be in a flight at 6 a.m. at DIA. I can still decide how to get up in time to read my Bible. So for me, it's the morning. You decide today how you're going to read the Bible in 2018. Is it going to be the first thing in the morning? Is it going to be the last thing at night? Is it going to be at your noon lunch hour? What's the best time for you? Solve the time issue. Then the question is, how much time? What should I do? Well, we have 24-hour days. You work and you sleep. Take out 18 hours. It gives us maybe 6 hours of discretionary time, free time, that the Lord gives us every day. 6 hours is 360 minutes. Can you tithe this year 10% of your free time? That's 36 minutes. Round it off to 30 minutes. Can you give God a half an hour a day? Most of us would say he's the highest priority in my life. But can we give him 30 minutes a day? If you do, it's 2% of your day. 2% of your 24-hour day is 30 minutes. Can you give your highest priority this year 2% of your day? Think about dropping the excuse of no time and having some discipline in your Bible reading this year. The next reason people don't read the Bible is, I don't know how. I don't know how to read the Bible. Okay, so I'm going to give you 11 methods right now. 11 methods. Now, you're not going to be able to write them all down, but they're all contained in these resources that we have at the table. These are Bible reading journals. And they have all the methods in them, so you can just pick these up. You know, they do cost a little bit, but you can pick those up at the end of the service. But here are the methods. Choose one. Pick one. One of these, the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and say, that's the one for me in 2018. So the first one is like any other book. You read it from beginning to end. You read it a chapter a day. A chapter a day keeps temptation away. So if you read a chapter a day starting January 1, 2018, you will finish the Bible 3.5 years later. All right, you don't have to worry about your Bible reading plan for the next 3.5 years. So that might be one you want to choose. Just read a chapter a day. The next one is daily Bible reading calendars and daily devotions. You can buy these at stores. You can get them on the internet. You know, there's a plethora of different devotions. The third one is a one-year Bible. How many of you use a one-year Bible? Yeah, they take the Bible, they divide it up into 365 days, and you read a passage of Scripture every day, you read a psalm every day, a proverb every day, 365, and so it tells you what to read every day. So get a one-year Bible. The next is chronological. Maybe you've never read the Bible chronologically. It's not in the order that it happened. So in this red journal is a chronological Bible reading schedule. Or if you don't want a journal, I want to do a bumper sticker, though, guys, that says Real Men Journal. I never did it because I know it's not going to sell. It looked good on your pickup trucks, though. But if you don't want a journal, just get a chronological Bible reading schedule that's right here so you can get that. So read the Bible chronologically. It's a fantastic, different way to read the Bible. The fifth way is the book at a time. Just choose your favorite book, January 1, and start reading it. However long that takes, you read it, you finish, you start your next book and your next book. And go back and forth between the Old and New Testaments, and you read as many books as you want. And in here, there's a tracker. So you write the books, you write when you started, when you finished. So you can keep track of how you're reading the Bible when you finish all the books. The next method, number 6, is read a book a month. So if you want a slower pace, just pick 12 books in 2018. 12 books, one a month. If it's a long book, you figure out how many chapters to read in a day. If it's a short book, 5 or 6 chapters, you just read it over and over and over. Read it every week and let the Word of God just go through you that month. So that's a great way to read. Another way is just to read the New Testament. Read the New Testament in 2018. And if you want to do that, this is the journal or this is the schedule you want because it has a New Testament reading every day. And then the next method is just read the Old Testament. This has the Old Testament reading every day. If you want to do both, read the whole Bible every day. This is the journal or the schedule for you. The 9th way is to just let it fall open. Now, that's not a method I highly recommend. However, if you get to the end of your day and you haven't spent any time in God's Word, when you put your head on the pillow, open your Bible and point and watch out. See what God says to you. At least do that. And then study the Bible. That's number 10. Yeah, we study the Bible. We come here because we want to be taught the Word. You have a Bible with all the commentaries in it. But Johnny Cash said this. He said, the Bible sure does throw a lot of light on those commentaries. So as Christians, we're spending a lot of time maybe reading about the Bible, and we're reading all these Christian books now, but we're not reading the Christian book, this one right here. So spend time in God's Word. And if none of that appeals to you, we started something new last year. We mentioned and we've gotten through it this year, and it's called Ad Bible. Ad Bible is an audio daily devotion. So now you can multitask, you can put it in your ears, and you can listen to the Word of God at least a chapter a day, and I give some comments and some application. So I cover all the reasons people don't want to read the Bible. No time, I've given it so you can listen to it. I don't understand it. I give you some comments. It doesn't apply to my life. I give an application. So check out Ad Bible. These cards are at the back. And that's the 11th way that you can engage in Scripture this year. Now, does the Bible apply to our lives? Let me just give you a couple of examples because that's the other reason people say they don't read. It doesn't apply to my life. Well, way back when I was in high school, I dated a young lady and I would never use the word love because I didn't understand what the word love meant. I love chocolate. I love baseball. I love you. You know, it just didn't seem to have a lot of meaning to me. So I wouldn't use the word love. Went off to college and I was reading. By the way, what's the love chapter in Scripture? 1 Corinthians 13. Now there's another love chapter in Scripture. And it's 1 John 4:7-19. That's when I was reading, and this is where I discovered love. So this is a practical application of the Scriptures. So I'm not going to read all of that, but I'm going to highlight what does 1 John 4:7-19 say. It says, love is of God, for God is love. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love him because he first loved us. And when I understood love, I could understand God is love, and God loved me. And then, therefore, I have love. Now I can love someone else. When I got it, I called this young lady and said, what? I love you. Now, what's the practical application? Love before marriage. If you get married understanding love, marriage can last. 42 years later, she's still sitting in the back room. She can stand up. My wife, Terry, my high school sweetheart, is the word of God applicable to your life? Yes, I needed to understand love. I understood it from a scriptural perspective. When you build your life on scriptural perspectives, life works out much better. Then another example. Just last year, we were trying to think about reinventing the Ezra Project. The Ezra Project is the ministry just like this. We speak in churches. We encourage people to read the word. We were touching a lot of lives, but we thought there must be something more. What else can we do? So the board, everybody set aside months to pray, seeking the Lord. How are we going to have greater impact? And we had our annual meeting on April 1st, and we didn't have an answer. I didn't have anything. The Lord was not giving me anything to share with the board. And on April 1st, in my daily Bible reading, I read Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 13. And I want to read that with you. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 13. I read, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth." And he's talking to Jeremiah, obviously. "For to all whom I send to you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? So I read that passage. I was packing up my Bible and finishing up. The Lord said, no. I want you to read that again. Stand up and read it out loud. So I got up and I stood and I read that passage again out loud. And this time the Lord said, put your name in it. Not Jeremiah, what do you see? Alan, what do you see? And as I read, I stopped. Alan, what do you see? And I stopped. Okay, what do I see? And I waited on the Lord. And I began to see earbuds with these strings hanging down people's necks and things in people's ears. And I say, okay, great. The next one, what do you see? And I saw some just like things shimmering. And the Lord spoke to me then and he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to put the word of God in people's ears. And you're going to do the same thing, speak in churches, but you're also going to do a new thing, shimmering back and forth into podcasts, earbuds. That was the day of the board meeting. God is always on time, right? And so I went to the board and I said, I think this is the new vision for the Ezra Project. I think he wants us to do a Bible app or this podcast. And yes, that's what we have done in 2017. Now, that was not easy because I'm not a techie. I don't know. I have no clue how to do this. But God calls us to do certain things. So the day I had to begin the podcast, which means I set up a studio in my home with a microphone, and it was the longest way down those staircases to get into that room to start this. I said, I'd rather speak to 1,000 people than to sit in a room by myself and talk into a microphone. And I was reading Ezekiel that day. Is God's word applicable? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 24 and 27. But the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And he spoke to me and he said, go, shut yourself within your house. When I speak to you, I will open your mouth. Okay. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer, could it? Go shut yourself in your house. My studio's in my house. Go and I'll put the words in your mouth. And he has. We've recorded over 20 books in 2017, chapter by chapter, in Ad Bible. Is the word applicable in your daily life? I hope it is. Read it every day. You don't know what's coming in your day. God does. God didn't know, or Dave didn't know, he would be called out today to go minister to policemen in crisis. He knew. That's why I'm here. He's gone. God, we have to trust the Lord like that in the Word of God. So the Word of God is not an old dusty book. It's applicable to our daily lives, relevant every day. That's why I read it every day of my life. How about you? Here's our final challenge. The world needs truth, doesn't it? We need truth. And where are we going to get truth? Christians need to exude truth. And the Word of God tells us where truth is. Pilate, remember, asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus already answered that in John 17 when he said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The world needs truth. I need truth. You need truth. So spend time in the Word so we can be truth to a world that desperately needs truth. I finish with a couple of challenging thoughts, questions. What would it be like if everyone everywhere in the world read the Bible every day? And we sigh, don't we? Because it would probably be heaven on earth, wouldn't it? What would it be like if every Christian read the Bible every day in 2018? Would we be better ambassadors for Christ this year? What would it be like if everyone at Calvary Castle Rock read the Bible every day in 2018? Would we have a greater impact on our community, our families? What would it be like if you personally read the Bible every day this year? Could you use a closer walk with Jesus? Could you use a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet as you walk through life this year? Could you use a spiritual power surge in your life this year? Matthew 22:29 says this, Jesus speaking to the Sadducees, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the power of God. If you want power, we understand the scriptures. That's where we're going to get the power of God to live this Christian life this year. Three easy action steps to hear from God every day of your life as I finish. First, commit to daily Bible reading. Commit this year. You can do this. There are many things you do every day of your life, isn't there? You can add Bible reading to that list. There's many things you do every day. Add Bible reading. Change your belief about God's word into behavior in God's word. Use any of these successful methods of Bible reading. Hopefully you've selected one. Know what you're going to do. Stay disciplined in your Bible reading this year. Read with Ezra. Do these plans. If you want to stay in touch with me, we have a Read with Ezra plan all year this year, and I can share kind of what it's going to be. We're going to go through 17 Old Testament books and 11 New Testament books with Ad Bible. So if you want to do that, you'll get 28 books of the Bible in this coming year. We're going to start with Proverbs in January. We need wisdom, right, as we start a new year. So January will be Proverbs. February will be Judges and Micah. March will be Mark, Zechariah, Philemon. April will be 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And we'll move back and forth to Old and New Testament books, books many Christians never read. So if you want to read 28 books in 2018, then go get one of those Ad Bible cards and become part of the Ezra Project, Read with Ezra program. The second thing is be intentional about your Bible reading. Decide what you want out of it. Remember, not information, transformation this year. Transform yourself. I visited Back to the Bible once. It's in Lincoln, Nebraska. Down the hallway here, it has all the reasons people don't read the Bible. Down this hallway, it has all the reasons why people do read the Bible. I'm going to share some of the things I read on that wall. Why people should read the Bible this year. Because one of the reasons says God wants me to. Well, we've learned that today, haven't we? God wants us in his word each day. Second reason was it changes me. Remember that coal basket story? It can change us from the inside out. It improves my outlook on life. Yeah, tune out all that bad news. Spend time in the good news this year and see your countenance change in the Lord. It keeps me grounded. Storms will come this year, won't they? We don't know what our world will be like. We don't know what our life will be like. Chances are we'll go through some storms. How are you going to weather the storm? Hopefully with your feet planted solidly on the Word of God. It keeps my heart soft. Yeah, that'd be a good thing. Back to Nehemiah. What two things happened when they heard the word of the Lord? They worshiped and they wept. Keep our hearts soft in the Word of God. And it keeps my daily focus on God. Won't your world be better? Won't your life be better in 2018 if you keep your daily focus on the Lord? Spiritual power to live life in 2018. And then lastly, feed your inner soul. The Word of God will feed your inner soul. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God pierces between soul and spirit. It pierces between bone and marrow, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't know anything that goes that deep into my human psyche, but the Word of God tells me that the Word will go between my soul and my spirit. Where is that place? I don't know. But that's where the Word will go, and I want to put it there every day of my life this coming year. The Bible, worth your time in 2018. Let's pray.